Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm. And you'll find out what happened to Frankenstein and other stuff that never happened. Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Tim, what's your strong drink?
My strong drink is tequila soda.
There you go.
You got me on those tequila sodas, man.
It's just a refreshing summertime beverage.
With a little bit of orange bitters. Mm-hmm. There are little bitters in there.
So a little splash of flavor.
Starting to experiment with bitters. Uh-huh. I got a bottle of orange bitters, and I have some peach bitters, and I have some ginger bitters.
Ooh,
so it's just a real bitter party over here.
Someone's culinary skills are mingling into the beverage world.
Yeah, man. Last night I had, get this, tequila, bitters, pomegranate juice, and a splash of Sprite. So, yeah, I'm turning into quite the mixologist.
If you get a silver tequila, I think that's a very diverse alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
You do a lot with splashes in a tequila, I'll tell you that. I'm having a big old glass of rosé. Just drained the rest of the box we had in the fridge. Took the space bag out. Squoze it like a bagpipe. Got the last of that rosé out of there.
There you go.
So that's what we're trying. So, yeah, sorry we started. And also, you said it's 2:40. You haven't eaten food yet, Dave?
I haven't eaten today.
This makes me worried, when a pet doesn't eat breakfast. Like, oh, something's wrong. Can't go out in the yard and eat some grass.
My stomach hurts. I went on a long walk today and around lunchtime. Didn't eat breakfast. Around lunchtime, went on a long walk, and by the time I got back, I was, I don't like to eat. I know it's hard to believe that there's a time of day I don't like to eat, but I don't like to eat after exercising, like when I'm hot and sweaty. Last thing I want to do is eat point.
Yeah, so it's like just another workout in itself, especially the way you eat. I've seen just, you eat. That's its own exercise.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't find the time to eat today. That doesn't happen often.
Hey, I'm glad you did. So, yeah, you did a walk. You didn't eat. Look who's trying to live a little longer.
Yeah, and instead I got a real strong tequila drink. So it's creeping up on me, man. I might get a little silly. My continence might start dissolving.
Hey, man, I say go for it. I'm on the other end. I've just been fucking just drink. That's all I'm doing is drinking. We had a delayed start because I had the shits. My whole fucking my body sounds like a cappuccino machine. It's disgusting.
Gross.
Yeah. So that's we got. It was good. We got sushi, but there's certain foods that even if the food's good, it's like I got to eat it in the restaurant. I don't know if you feel that way. Like sushi,
I agree.
I want it. I want to know they just touched it, and then it's to me right there, right on the plate, right after they did their little magic on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something about like fish out of a piece of styrofoam, raw fish out of styrofoam.
Yeah,
but it was still good, and I don't think that's what I'm sick. I'm not sick from that or anything, but it's always that and pho, like the soup. I want the soup coming out in the bowl. You know what I mean?
You know what else I've experienced recently that doesn't travel well as far as delivery or takeout? Mm. Mexican food, oddly enough. I've had some bad delivered Mexican food. I think just, you know, once it gets 15, 20 minutes old, the cheese starts getting cold, things start to congeal. It's just, it's not as fun as the restaurant.
Yeah, I could see getting a Chipotle and tucking that under your arm and just running with it. But like, with the, yeah, if you got nachos or something, it's like fries. You can't get fries delivered. You can't. It can't be in an enclosed space. It's being steamed.
Yeah, that's true. Fries got a real short shelf life.
Yeah, man, fries got a homemade fries, baby. You doing homemade fries at all?
Oh yeah, yeah. Not often because it's some work. It's the way mess, I do them, I have to. You double fry them, and you soak them in water first, then you fry them halfway, then you let them sit, then you fry them again. But
though
it's good. It's worth it. Speaking of food, dude, got a couple of nice acquisitions this week to my kitchen.
All right,
I got a meat grinder.
Ooh,
well not a meat grinder per se. I got the meat grinder attachment to my KitchenAid mixer.
Oh, okay,
Still pretty solid machine there. So I've always wanted a meat grinder. I've always wanted to be able to grind my own meat for burgers and whatnot. So I got that. And I got a burger press, like a burger mold, little contraption that you to put the meat into. And you press it down, makes perfect little patty. Oh, boy.
You sent me.
It's about to be burger time over here.
You just sent me a picture of that just out of nowhere.
I was proud of
people
it.
Like, we text about the show, and otherwise we're like, you know, not a lot of news going back and forth. You're just like, burger press, the picture of it. And I know you get all kinds of food stuff, but something a burger press really must have tickled you.
Oh yeah, I'm playing with it right now, man. I'm very excited about this thing.
Were we talking about it on the show, or were we talking about it on text? Where I was like, I hate to admit it, but pan fried burger better than a grill.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I agree. I think I've gone on record with that. I mean, the grill, everybody likes to romanticize the grill. The grill is fun. You're outdoors. There's smoke. There's fire. But man, steaks and burgers, I prefer a cast iron skillet.
Finally, a heterosexual man can cook without feeling self-conscious. Weber grills.
Yeah, man. I'm all about a pan-fried burger. So, of course, now I've recently, the thing that I got into a few months ago was a smash burger. So I do those on my cast iron griddle. I got this just a big rectangle slab of cast iron.
Yeah.
Just like a flat top griddle. But I put that, you sit that on top of the, it goes across two burners on the stove. So you just do that, and it serves as like a flat top griddle, like you'd have at a restaurant or something. And boy, smash those burgers down with a masonry trowel. Oh boy, it's about to be on over here, dude.
Masonry trowel quite yet. I was like,
oh yeah,
what's
yeah?
Oh okay,
gotta use that to smash that meat down real thin, and then you put the raw onions on top of that. Smash that into the meat. Oh boy. Oh, we've gone over this, Kyle.
I think I got to make burgers tonight. I think I got to make some burgers. I was like, I like that the Reddit just has a food, its own thing, like, what you making for food this week? And that has more responses than anything we've done as a show. This is people chiming in about the food they made over the course of the week. I'm like, I like seeing the community. I'm just happy to see the community.
On the Boogie Monster Reddit, they're talking food.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they're all just sharing recipes. I'm like, I like that there's a little there's a little gang out there just talking to each other. It makes me happy. Because I was thinking about this. I mean, we're coming up on 5 years?
4 years.
4 years.
In about a week. Yeah, 4 years.
So 4 years.
I think August 1st, 2016.
It was August. Okay, so prior to Trump's election stuff. Because like, I was thinking about like the idea of conspiracy theories. It's because they were fun, and they're not fun anymore.
No, because they're kind of real.
Well, but nobody's scary. Believing in the... we're going to say, like, all right, unmarked federal agents kidnapping people in Portland, 15 minutes away from where I am now. Nope. Isn't this, like we said, isn't this the tyrannical government that all these guns rights activists talk about? But we're not.
Yeah, where are you at, not, Second Amendment folks?
Yeah, that's not the conspiracy theories. It's that 5G is going to give babies hair lips or something. Like, I like that's the shit that we're going with. And I just, I saw.
And I want to. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and I just watched some John Oliver clip. Like, rarely do I check in with that kind of stuff, but about him doing a pretty good job of like why conspiracies can propagate and why, because the internet makes them seem real and it can look and saying like a very, like there's jokes in it, but like a very easy way of like, hey, let's double check, go to other verified trusted sources, see if they're confirming this. And like, one of the points that he made that made a lot of sense to me was about how like, do you realize that if the conspiracy you believe in is true, how many people would have to keep it a secret? Like, just like, I think the example that he used was like, if the moon landing was truly faked, it was like over 400,000 people would have had to keep that a secret.
Really? That many would have hypothetically been involved?
Yeah. Or, and you know what? And that's, I don't know how that's the number they came up with, but just the idea that if some giant operation was truly a conspiracy, how many people would have to keep it a secret? And then his example is like, try planning a mid-sized surprise party and see how difficult it is to keep that a secret. And it was like, it was, I mean, used humor to get the point across. But it's like, yeah, I'm like, oh no, 5G is it's absolutely gonna, that's there to control your minds. And Bill Gates absolutely wants to microchip everybody with a coronavirus vaccine. But thank God only three people are brave enough to, thank God only Q is the one inside guy with the knowledge.
Yeah.
Oh, man. There's like real things to get upset about. There's real things.
I mean, that's a good point. You know, the people can't keep a secret. However, I still think that, I mean, look at the military. There's stuff going on that the military's doing, that they have been doing for years, that the American public doesn't know about. Those people in the know inside the military that are doing those things, they're keeping a secret, or at least kind of well. So I think it's possible to keep some secrets. But yeah, 400,000 people,
but
you know, there's going to be a leak. But I'm on the fence. I mean, yeah, some conspiracy theories obviously seem completely ridiculous. But that being said, I wouldn't put it past our government to obviously do some shady shit and be secretive about it. So
I'm mixed too, because I feel that way. Mm-hmm. I keep using the same analogy. It's like being a Sublime fan. You're like, hey, Sublime's a good band. And then you meet a fan of Sublime. You're like, oh, I'm with them. I can't like this anymore.
Mm-hmm. Oh man.
It's, it's tough because I don't. Oh yes, absolutely. I'm sure there's some sort of alien technology that we've taken as the government, but also wear your fucking masks, you fucking idiots.
Yeah. Dude.
I know it's man, a hypocritical standpoint. I know that.
Man, going back to the Portland stuff, and we started to touch on it, but these fucking Second Amendment people, like, this is what you've been talking about your whole life.
Uh-huh.
Tyranny. Like, a tyrannical government, like, abusing its own citizens. Where are you at? Where are you at now?
Well, abusing citizens they don't agree with.
And you know that Oregon is filled with those people. Probably, you know, I'm not saying, I know Portland is incredibly left-leaning, but you go 15 miles in any direction, you're going to find some of those camo vest AR-15 Second Amendment fuck nuts.
Yeah.
Where are you at now, dude? Where are you at? This is your chance. This is your chance to shine.
Because the people they're taking out, they're like, they're glad. All these rabble rousers that are the destruction, which is spray paint. The destruction you're talking about, spray paint. It's spray paint.
It's the same thing too with this the rebel flag stuff, the Confederate flag stuff. It's heritage, not hate. Well, what happens when fucking Nazis and the KKK co-opt your fucking symbol? I don't see anybody too upset about that. If I truly was a fan of the Confederate flag, and I was as righteous as some of these fuckwads pretend to be, I'd be pissed off and irate that Nazis and KKK members have co-opted my symbol of heritage. Mm. But oddly, not a lot of pushback against the neo-Nazis and the Klan.
I'm trying to think of what I have that I would like back away from. Oh, you know, I saw there's a documentary coming out about the artist that created Pepe the Frog. You know that whole
Which one's Pepe the Frog? Oh, is that the QAnon thing?
Yeah, like that became a meme for all this alt-right. Mm-hmm. And the guy who created it, he was just an artist. Like, he had nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. Nothing to do with it. And became like the first meme of that movement, and about how this guy's like now actively trying to get his artwork, like trying to reclaim it for his own because it's been co-opted.
Mm.
By the alt-right. So that looks like it's not out yet. I saw a trailer for it. It looks like it's going to be interesting. But yeah, I'm trying to think of like, what do I have in my life that I would be so like up in arms if it had to be, you know, rebranded. There's a whole argument. Well, it's just, hey man, what's the problem? It's just a flag. Cool. Then why is it a problem if somebody kneels? You know, why is it? Why? Fucking flags. People have hard-ons about flags. A piece of fabric that does nothing. It's not pants.
Dude,
it's not a blanket. You can't. If you wear it as pants or a blanket, it's disrespectful. It can only be a piece of fabric.
Yeah.
What am I going to just...
I don't get it.
We're just being angry, angry old men. Hopefully for the right side.
Well, and... And anger, I know that this news is a few weeks old, but just the statue stuff, you know, people in the South getting upset that people want to tear down their statues of fucking slave owners, of oppressive leaders. Fucking Tennessee, at least as of a few weeks ago, still has at least one statue of Nathan Bedford Forrest on government property. He was the fucking founder of the KKK. This is on government property.
Well, all right. Here's an example, Dave. Like, think about anything like in terms of comedy. Like, all right, right now, like they're petitioning Trader Joe's to stop calling things Trader Giotto's and Trader Jose's.
I saw that, by the way. Who called that 10 years ago?
I have a stake in that. But
shut
I do,
the fuck up.
But but now I will, like, I think that is silly. Like, why is that racist? If the joke is real, it means there's really a person named Trader Joe who's doing that. That's racist, but that's a joke. Mm-hmm. This is a company what if their food was just named, you know, Mama Sophia's pasta? Would that be racist, even though it came from the same company? So
now that's a good question. I've thought a lot about that. Like, just utilizing a group of people to promote. Like, well, that's the same conversation that's going on with sports. Like, Washington Redskins could be seen as a slur. It probably is a slur.
Redskins. It's a slur.
But
it's a slur.
Yeah. And the reason I'm defensive about this is because I'm a huge Atlanta Braves fan. Now, Redskin, obviously a slur, but is Brave the Braves, or, you know, what if there was the Warriors, or, like, where's the line? Like, just because, like, and I get the argument of, like, well, no group of people should be a mascot.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering about things like, or the Cleveland Indians. You know, theirs is more of a... I mean, I think the problem there lies in the logo, where they got like the big cartoonish.
But would you be upset
Indian
if they changed the Braves?
I wouldn't be upset.
But it's the same argument you're saying about the... It's like, well, but at this point, it's just the team. It's not like about anything. Like, it's the same argument you were having against, you know, the people that wanted to maintain the Confederate flag.
I guess my question is, like... Obviously, something that is clearly a slur, like a Redskin, but is the Braves, is that a slur? Is that disrespectful to Native Americans? Or could the argument be made that it's, oh, we're honoring them because they're heroic and, you know, they represent, you know, yeah. Power and fighting.
Nothing like, says honoring a group of people like getting drunk and eating a $10 hot dog.
But the same could be said for like a, I'm sure there's a hockey team or a soccer team or something, the Knights, you know, like, is it the fact that it's, that it has to do with a specific group of people, regardless if it's a negative
specific group of people that probably had previously occupied that land and then was kicked out by the very people who named the team after them. Yeah. True. That's, yeah, I mean, okay, that's where I would see. Okay. That's not for us to determine.
Okay.
If
yeah,
okay. Indigenous people want to be like, that's offensive. That's who I would listen to. That's whose opinion would matter to me about that. Not somebody who's like, but I've been a fan. But I've been a fan my whole life.
Yeah.
Really?
No, and I mean, I really wouldn't have a problem, like, if they changed the name. I was just trying to get out in front of it of like, okay, is that, you know, the Redskins, I've always thought that was, because the Redskins just, how can that not be a slur? But, you know, I just knew that eventually the Atlanta Braves are going to have to deal with that. And, yeah, the question being, like, where's the line? Is it just, you know, get rid of all mascots that pertain to a group of people and keep it to,
that's what I'm laughing at, like,
to animals.
Nobody's yelling about the Fighting Irish yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'll come. I mean, yeah, right, sure. Now, if this conversation continues, it'll come. And but where I'm trying to think where it would hit home for us is like, if it's a joke, you know, it's a joke.
Mm-hmm.
But like, somebody made some comment. I got a joke about like, hey, sometimes gentrification is good. And it's just about how sometimes there's shitty things that go away when things get gentrified. There's a nicer thing in its place. Mm-hmm. That's simplified, but somebody, you know, managed to somehow turn it into a conversation, not even a conversation because I didn't really respond, but about how that's why Breonna Taylor was killed, because of gentrification, because of, I don't know, maybe if the area they live in is now more panicked white people calling the police, but like, I'm not going to follow that line of thinking. I think she was killed because police acted wildly inappropriately. That's,
yeah, I think, and by the way, what's the hold up there? What's the delay on solving that?
Well, I don't know. They're like, well, injustice. One of them got fired. I'm like, that's the least that should happen if you murder someone on the job, is that you don't get to have that job anymore. That still just means they'll have to get another job because they have freedom.
Yeah.
And this wasn't even a case where it was like, oh, the guy assaulted an officer, but then ran and his back was turned and they shot. Even then, look, okay, it's a question. But this is like, we went to the wrong house.
She was asleep in her own bed and was murdered.
And the boyfriend fired on her with a legal firearm. The fact that he was even arrested at any point during this, again, hey, 2A fuckers, why aren't you getting loud about this? NRA, this is exactly the situation you talk about. No, as far as
I guarantee,
heard,
if it was
not a peep,
if it was a white woman that got murdered in her bed, they'd speak up. I guarantee fucking tell you they would.
Yeah, so
if it was a white dude that tried to defend his family with a legal gun and got arrested, I guarantee you they'd speak up.
And again, I don't see the connection in me saying that, you know, when there's an abandoned field with dirty needles in it, and then after gentrification, it's a Best Buy. I'm not seeing the connection to Breonna Taylor's murder by police, but someone is. And they're telling me that that joke is inappropriate right now because of their thoughts on that. And the inside voice in me wants to tell them to go either take their head out of their ass or shove it further up it. Outside voice of me is like, all right, everybody's worked up about stuff, and we are seeing linkage between all these issues. I'm going to disagree because I know what I'm doing is a joke. And you're only responding to a 10-second snippet of a 15-minute long story, which is, again, the problem that everybody has. You see a 10-second clip of something online, and that's what you're going to let direct your anger or outrage. You need to do more research, like the John Oliver thing about, like, look up about conspiracy theories and find out what you're reading is a verified piece of information. He tore apart that Plandemic movie, which I had not seen, but because I think it'll just get me pissed. But
Well, and we've talked about this, you know, as far as disinformation. But nowadays, like, I mean, I don't know how to vet some of this stuff. You know, I know we've talked, you've talked about, you know, just two clicks.
Yeah, but I'll show you how to vet it. Go to the second page of Google searches, Dave. That's all I've ever done whenever you've brought shit to this podcast. Because I just look at the second page.
How do we know the second click and the third click and the fourth click isn't disinformation? You know?
It's disinformation coming to disinform the already misinformed man. Mm-hmm. This is a fool's errand.
Oh, man.
It's like,
what else going on?
It's like
up
when
there?
You get too drunk, so you smoke a little weed, but then you got two stones, mm-hmm. so you drink some more to level it out, and then you're just barfing and shitting everywhere by the end of the night. Like, let's take it easy.
No, but do you understand my question? Like, I get trying to vet your sources, but like, who's to say what source?
Well,
it feels like every piece of journalism has an agenda, has an angle.
Well, it's my buddy sending me a thing where his news source was like World News Daily, some right wing news source. And he says, like, mm-hmm. I don't know, this is in the news. I'm like, that's not the news. That's your news. It's not the news. Just as much as I would not send anybody a link to a Huffington Post article and say, check out what's in the news. That's news for people for that kind of thing. Now, the tough part is, what is the news? Because obviously Fox is right wing. Obviously CNN skews left wing.
Yeah, that's my question.
So where's the news? I wish I could find. There's one website that like would mark everything with like red, blue, or purple to say like what was right, what was left, and what was kind of more of neutral reporting.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm forgetting the name of that one. But something like that, we're like, all right, here's, you know, it's like documentaries are always going to be subjective. Mm-hmm. You can't make an objective documentary. It's always going to have some slant to it. Unfortunately, that seems like how the news is. Except it's not. The president's a fucking retard, and that will be reflected in the reporting. Even in neutral reporting, that's reflected, and that's where people think, this is my opinion, where people are like, oh, see, the media just wants to tear Trump down. No, he's a fucking idiot, and he's doing it to himself.
He's doing that by himself. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a give somebody enough rope, except that is not... That excuse is not employed by people. They're like, see, man, he just keeps winning. I'm not going to get mad about this. You see,
this is winning?
Do you see any ghosts or anything?
Look at this country. I see any ghosts. I wish.
Fucking well, we will, because enough people are dying from coronavirus.
Yeah.
You see any corona ghosts down in Long Beach?
How's it up there? How's it in Beaverton as far as when you go out? What percentage of people are wearing masks in public?
Because I kind of skip looking at a lot of news or like local news. I mean, I don't know what the mandate is. We obviously wear a mask. Now I think it's masks in any enclosed space. Mm-hmm. And so we were out last week. We were actually in Portland and had like a couple drinks on an outdoor patio where the servers were wearing the masks, and we were outside, and you know, all the tables are X amount of feet away. And so that point's like, all right, 6 feet away, masks when you're not drinking or eating. All right. You know, but and inside any business is wear a mask. And here in Beaverton, I think you get a few more of the buck up against the system types, but it hasn't been bad. Like, we'll go to a Costco or the grocery store. Everybody's got the masks on. You see one or two people with it off, and I'm like, but not, I don't think in a sense of like, somebody say something to me. I'm here to make a statement. I think it's more of just like if somebody says something, they'll put it on, but they're just being ignorant.
Man, going back to President Dumbfuck there, I know you probably saw this. I guess, what's his name, Chuck Woolery? He tweeted something, I'm paraphrasing, where he basically said, Chuck Woolery basically tweeted that this is all a hoax.
Yeah.
And President Trump retweeted that. Does that mean President Trump thinks that this is also a hoax?
Or did you not see the follow-up of that?
No.
Chuck Woolery got COVID.
No.
And then had to apologize that it wasn't a hoax and then deleted his Twitter account.
Jesus Christ. Does Trump, what is his mindset? What is his mindset? Does he think like, what, does he think that 130 something thousand people aren't dead?
I think.
Like, seriously, man, what does he think?
Like, you stop using the word think. I think that's your problem. Stop using.
I mean, this is cartoonish.
Yeah. And people really think he's like the rabble rouser that's just shaking up the system. And it's like, no, I mean, you know, Mulaney's bit about a horse in a hospital is pretty good.
Yeah.
We're all like, that shouldn't be there. There's a fucking horse in here. Like, we're not saying anything that's anybody's going to be surprised on our standpoint. I still think if anybody, yeah. I can't believe anybody would be listening to this podcast and think differently.
But I've said it before, we can't normalize this behavior. Like,
no.
And I know it's redundant to always call out the ridiculous shit that Trump does, but that doesn't make it okay. Like, this is insanity.
We got 3 months, and then we'll see what kind of military we have to send in to pull his dumpy ass out of that chair. If that happens.
Oh, and yeah, that's the other thing he says.
It's still not sure. Everybody, I know voting seems like a fucking scam, but fucking vote. Please. Please vote. I'm being a hypocrite because I used to be the guy who hated when showbiz folks would be like, no matter what happens, mm-hmm. you just need to vote because I know what their agenda is. Don't tell me to vote because I could vote for the person you disagree with and then you wouldn't want me to vote. But if you're listening to this program, I think I would hope that you're voting with some.
Did you hear that he made some comment the other day about if he loses, he won't accept the results or he's going to wait and see or something? Like, how funny and ironic would it be if his little Homeland Security fucking squad had to drag his ass out of the White House? In November.
There's people with no couth and no class who can still make a great point. It's like the wolf from Pulp Fiction, Harvey Keitel, when he's like, I don't know, a little please or thank you could be nice. I'm sorry. I didn't know I needed that. Here, please clean up all this, you know. So you could be an asshole, but your heart can be in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's harder for you to get your agenda across, but you can be like a, you know, not have social skills, but get things, you know, have people's best interests in your mind. This is not the case. This is like no class, no couth, and no brains. So and there's no better. No, there's no message in there that's like, oh, he's not a great guy, but the things he's doing are good. I don't think that some people think that that's the case. I have a buddy who's like, well, I don't agree with a lot of what he says, but I respect the office. I don't know where this line came in. I respect the office. Cool. How many times did you say that when Obama was in?
Yeah.
Was it none? Because if it was none, then you don't. Why are we angry?
Also, hey, where are we at on Bounty Gate, by the way? Did that get swept under the rug?
What's that, paper towels?
The Bounty Gate? Like, that's, I'm not hearing anything about that. And his constituency.
It's a waterfall of shit.
Where's the, oh God.
Dave,
half of his base is jacks off to the military every night. That's all you hear is, oh, support the troops, support the troops. Well, you're the troops that you support have apparently had bounties on their heads, and either A, Trump knew about it and didn't do shit, or B, he now knows about it and still hasn't done shit. So where's the uproar about that? Patriots.
Oh, we gotta, Dave, we gotta talk about fun stuff.
God damn it. Here's some fun shit.
God damn it.
Fuck. Oh, God. Fuck him 1,000 times
Dave,
over.
You gotta
I've never been more embarrassed to be an American.
I want you to.
I've never been more ashamed to be a fucking American.
Take that rage and put it into the tightest, firmest burger patty you can make with that burger press. I want to see you make a 5-pound patty that's only 1/2 inch tall and 4 inches across. It's going to be a diamond. You're going to make a diamond out of ground meat with this rage.
God damn it. And as if we're not having enough fun in Portland with unidentified Homeland Security agents scooping people up and throw them into rented minivans. Homeland Security, Chicago Tribune right now. Homeland Security making plans to deploy some 150 agents in Chicago this week.
Chicago's going to shoot back. Look out.
Yeah.
Chicago's going to shoot back.
No, he went on record today saying he's something about he's going to deploy more officers to many liberal cities. Chicago was one. I think he mentioned Oakland, a few others.
We'll see what he does.
And I don't know enough about martial law, but like, is Portland just a, is this just a run through? Is this just a dress rehearsal? What the fuck is going on?
That's what people think it is. People think it's like a practice session. Like, see, like we're just running around, picking people up, letting them know we can do it.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Anyway, hey, so you're going to move to Costa Rica?
Yes. Yeah.
I want to talk about fun things. I was getting caught up too. And nobody wants the heroes just be two mad dudes at each other.
No, and I understand that. And yes, listeners, I understand that, you know, at some point you're eager for us to get back to ghouls and goblins. But Jesus Christ, I can't ignore this shit. I can't ignore, and I'm not political. I don't know shit about shit. I'm dumb as fuck. All right. But Jesus Christ, every day there's another example of our nation crumbling. I can't talk about the fucking Loch Ness Monster right now.
As far as being a citizen of America and want to have, like, you know, one of those things for, like, for all its faults, I still want to be proud of it. And that doesn't exist right now. There's no pride. There's not, but also would not look like, be hard pressed. You want to see what's on page 5 of your Google search results is maybe something to be proud about right now. But right, the first 5 pages are going to be like, well, here's this, here's that.
Dude, I think I mentioned this last week, and you and I have talked about this off the air, but I'm seriously considering trying to relocate abroad.
I always wonder, like, if you're just trading hyperbole. a group of problems for another, but
yeah. And I understand. And by the way, let me preface this by saying on the Stoneberg, somebody, I mentioned that I wasn't, I'm not a patriot. And they're like, well, the opposite of a patriot is a traitor. Okay. So those are my only 2 fucking choices. No, I'm not a patriot. I'm not, I don't understand this. I like living in America. I acknowledge that it is a pretty good country. I don't know about this rah-rah bullshit of greatest country on earth. I acknowledge and appreciate some of the liberties that are afforded to me. And I like America itself. I've traveled to 48 out of the 50 states in this country. I've been almost everywhere in this country. And I love Americans, most of them. And I love American culture. There's a lot of things about American culture I love. But our history and our government has not shown a whole lot for us to be proud about. If you go back to history, the way this country was founded, just, hey, we're just going to slaughter a race of people that were here first. Okay, there's your first problem. And then the way we treat our own citizens. Oh, black people, hey, you're three-fifths of a person. Fuck off and get over it. So, no, I'm not a blind loyalist patriot, okay? But that doesn't necessarily mean I'm a traitor. There's a lot I like about America. That being said, even before all this, I've always had in the back of my mind this desire to travel abroad and maybe one day live abroad. And due to the crumbling horseshit that is all around us, I think that day is going to be sooner than later. So anyway, Kyle, I've got the six countries. I've got six, apparently the six best countries for Americans to relocate to, according to volunteercard.com. So they did all this research and they based it on basically three criteria: quality of life, cost of living, and satisfaction from current expats. Number one on the list, Canada. That's kind of obvious just based on its proximity. Very high quality of life.
I wish
cost of living is a.
I wish go ahead. Canada was just warmer.
Exactly.
That's my only exactly. beef. That's my only beef.
I would already be there if it was a little warmer. But good quality of life. Cost of living is 6% lower than the U.S. So a lot of expats, American expats over there in Canada. Number two surprised me, Bahrain. Bahrain, apparently, quality of life's pretty high. They got a thriving economy. Public safety is pretty high. Cost of living is 17% lower than the U.S. I'll just mow through these real quick. I won't spend a lot of time. Oh, this is the one that I got my eye on. Costa Rica, number three. Costa Rica. Quality of life, incredibly high. Another website did a study recently, and I don't know how they judge this, but apparently... people who live in Costa Rica are among the happiest people in the world. That's pretty cool.
That's what the government tells them to say.
Yeah.
No, I know people love Costa Rica. You know what I got to think mm-hmm. about? Bugs. I realized that that's yeah. the bane of my existence in my age are bugs.
Mm-hmm.
The jungle?
Yeah, I've thought about that too. Man. Any type of tropical, it's basically a tropical rainforest there, so you're going to get all kinds of crazy bugs and wildlife. But quality of life is very high due to incredible weather, and the cost of living is 22% less than America. I've actually been toying around on real estate websites, and you'd be surprised. I mean, you could get like... You can get like a 4-bedroom, 3-bath home in Costa Rica.
How many online cookbooks do you have to sell for that 4-bedroom Costa Rican beach palace, Dave?
Yeah, not too many.
Not a lot.
They have 800 miles of coastline. They have two coasts. They've got the Caribbean coast to the north and the Pacific coast to the south. So the whole country itself is about the size of West Virginia, but they have 800 miles of coastline. Cost of living is 22% less than the United States. Let's see, where else? Number four, Taiwan.
How big are the mosquitoes? I would give Trump another 4 years if he promised to get rid of mosquitoes.
Taiwan is a single issue
voter. Oh, what? Whoever gets rid of mosquitoes.
Number five, New Zealand.
New Zealand ain't letting anybody
beautiful.
In. New Zealand, for its own sake, just seal itself off. You don't need any assholes ruining that beautiful. Honestly, it's an island nation. Seal yourself off. Be amazing, mm-hmm. friendly people. The rest of the world can die of fucking COVID and then repopulate. With your good vibes, New Zealand. That's what I'm saying. For the earth, for the sake of the earth, seal yourself off. Don't let anybody in.
Man, I've ever since I know I sound like such a fucking idiot. Ever since I seen those, I can't even remember the fucking name of the movies now. What's that trilogy? Lord of the Rings. Ever since I saw that, I was like, holy shit, New Zealand's pretty rad. Man, I'd love to live in the Shire. That'd be so cool. Have a little half underground house like that with sod on top of the roof.
Did we talk about that last week? I tried watching it, and I couldn't do it, man.
Yeah, we've talked about it. Okay. Yeah, you got to be in the right frame of mind. And lastly, number six on this list is also one I've got my eye on, Portugal. Portugal.
You were talking about this the other day, Portugal.
Very appealing. Dude, I've been looking at Portuguese real estate. Dude, I found a 5-bedroom home for $200,000. I'm going to move to fucking Portugal and eat a bunch of pork.
Where's two five bedroom?
Yeah, seriously.
Well, you better start reminding people of Patreon more often if you want to afford this this lifestyle. We might have to get this video content up and running if we're going to pull off this Portuguese
move. No, that's my point. I don't need a five bedroom home, but you can get a five bedroom home for like $200,000 over there. What's a nice three bedroom, two bath going to cost me? 100 grand? Jeez, you know what the mortgage on 100 grand is? It's like $400 a month. So that's where my mind's at right now. I'm figuring out what I'm paying, what Katie and I are paying for a one bedroom in Long Beach, California. And I'm like, I could get quite a nice palatial estate in Portugal for what I'm paying
out
in rent.
That's when you find out that ground beef is $90 a gram.
No, everything's cheap over there. Although the downside to that is salaries are very low as well. So, I mean, it's like anywhere else. You know, if cost of living's cheap, then your salary's going to be low. And if cost of living's high, at least you're going to make some good money. So it's all relative. But, dude, the two that I've seriously got my eye on is Portugal and Costa Rica. The only problem with Costa Rica, from what I've learned, is the internet's not great over there. And by the way, I've got to keep the Boogie Monster going. So I need internet. I need good Wi-Fi so we can do this. Oh, man. Did I hang up on you, buddy?
There he is. Would you touch your ear?
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, I guess so. I didn't even realize at that time. Usually it's when I'm laughing and I have to push my earbud back in. Anyway, so yeah, Costa Rica, the only negative, probably not the only negative, but one of the negatives is they say infrastructure and is not great, including Wi-Fi. Their internet's not great over there. And
so we can't move there. We can't do the podcast if you move to Costa Rica.
Yeah, so I guess I'm just going to move to Portugal and then, you know. We'll just work on the coordinator schedules.
Work on that time change.
With the time difference. Yeah. I know this sounds like a pie in the sky dream, but I'm not going to say I'm dead serious, but I'm seriously considering it in terms of like 2 or 3 years down the road. Well, here's the other thing we have to think about too. And this is something that Americans, fortunately, I guess, have never had to think about. But what happens hypothetically? What happens one day when we become refugees? Imagine that concept, an American refugee, where we have to fucking get out because California's broken off into the ocean or the whole country's engulfed in a civil war. What happens when, you got to pack up and get the fuck out? I mean, we think that's a ridiculous hypothetical, but it happens all over the world, and it has happened since the beginning of time. People have been forced out of their homeland.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
what happens if America ever faces
that?
We
only know our small timeline on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we think that, rah-rah America. You know, we know our parents' generation and our generation, and to some extent, I'd say our grandparents' generation, but... You know, I don't remember my grandfather going, "Hey, you're six. Let me tell you about what World War II was like." You're not going to tell that to a six-year-old and what they had to go through. But and then that generation, you know, that they didn't know the great country of America. They knew the turn of the century.
Mm-hmm.
We had a big old hot flash in the pan, maybe. And it's, you know, we just... Why is this obsession with being first? Like, no, why can't a collection of people just, why can't it just, you know, everybody, let's do well and help each other. Not this, we got to be first. That's, I always, all these free market fuckers that just like want less government. Also, we got to bring manufacturing back to America. You don't get to have both. You want free market, blame your greedy friends that sent all the manufacturing over to China to get it done cheaper. China didn't take your job.
Yeah.
Greedy corporations who figured out how to make their shit cheaper took your job, and they sold it to China.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that is the appeal of some of these other countries, and doing a little research recently, is just the mindset of, and I'm not even going to get into capitalism and things like that, but just the mindset, like in Costa Rica, they have their slogan is Pura Vida, which is pure life. And someone was explaining it, it's like, It's not all about money and success and status. It's about enjoying your life and enjoying your surroundings.
Well, our slogan is land of the free, and we're throwing people in unmarked minivans. So it's
not exactly. Cool. But just this American mindset of, and I guess it is rooted in capitalism, of just go, 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 achieve, achieve, mm-hmm. achieve, earn money. Like, dude, I'm just not interested in that as much as I was 15, 20 years ago. Now it's like, how do I want to spend the last half of my life?
But you also have like a universal skill set of being able to cook. Mm-hmm. And not being able to mimic recipes, but make your own. That's universal. I mean, where do you go here? Where it doesn't matter what language they speak. You're just like, I want the number three menu meal and give it to me because they're cooked. That food is going to translate. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, it's that kind of stuff where it's like, I think you could make it because of something. I wouldn't say it would be easy, but.
Yeah.
Go down
there. No, and I've thought about that. I've thought about, you know, I wonder if they have many American style barbecue restaurants in Portugal. I wonder if that's a demand that I can meet.
Well, when I was in Seoul, when I was in South Korea, they had Itaewon, which was like America Town, because you think about, you have Chinatown, you know, you have, ethnic neighborhoods here, and that's what they had there. There's so many Americans, and it was a guy that traveled the world and settled there, but he's like, you know what, I like burgers, and I've tasted burgers all over the world. I want to make the best burger, and so I'm going to do it here, because like the people that are hanging out in this neighborhood would want this burger. The same way you're like, oh man, I had this weird, like this great soup, this, you know, Korean soup. I'm going to go to Koreatown to get this soup because I'm in there. I think you could do something like that.
Yeah, I've seriously considered it.
Dave's Beach Shack?
Because you got, you know, the natives may not be familiar, but may be into the foreign cuisine of Texas-style barbecue or whatever. I mean, but then you also have expats that maybe crave that.
I think
that,
you got
that
a lot of expats
don't have access
there.
To it.
Yeah, and then you got...
I've got a list here.
You got that South American. You got. I mean, well, they got all the access to the meat and everything down there. They're still... Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what Costa Rican food is, but Central American food, I think that's not too far off.
No, you're right there, you know, not far from South America where, you know, Argentina is like beef country. That's all they eat is beef. Swords. In Argentina. But speaking of expats, I got some stats here that I found interesting as far as I never really thought about this, but, you know, Americans living abroad, I know that concept exists. I just didn't know to what extent. But here's the top seven countries with American expats. Mexico is number one on the list with 850,000 Americans are living in Mexico right now.
I love Mexico.
Yeah, I've never been, but... I've actually been looking into Mexico, too. I mean, the only problem there is you got to make sure you're in the right locale and not get caught up in narco violence. Canada?
Again,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you think about what news you get. Mm-hmm. If you only hear about the most violent stuff because that's what makes the headlines, what do you think people get about America?
Yeah,
so, absolutely. Definitely.
A huge country.
Yeah.
It's like saying, oh, there's violence in Chicago. I don't want to move to America. Well, you could move to Montana or.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a huge country.
Beautiful. Get away from there's it. Large cities that have good and bad parts, and there's country, there's national parks. Hell yeah, Mexico. Love me. Sometimes.
You enjoyed Mexico when you were down there?
Dude, if I wasn't in the midst of it, was before I had my gout diagnosed, so I didn't know what was wrong with me, and I couldn't walk while I was there. For one of the trips when I was there. Rachel and I went on vacation. Like, we went to, where did we go? Tulum. And it was like if a white girl Instagram influencer started a beach town. We had a good time because we enjoy, you know, we have a good time traveling. But it was just macrame dream catchers and shit. And, like, Instagram walls with, like, angel wings painted on them. Not Mexico. We'll not call that. We did go into the town and then... That's where, like, oh, this feels like we're in Mexico and this is cool. We're trying to restaurants and everything. But Mexico City, man, I wish I got to spend more time there. But Ooh, I was still eating meat when I was there, and I was just, oh, man. Food, buddy. The food.
Yeah.
Holy crapoli. Went to a place in Monterey where it's like, oh, yeah, this is like doesn't feel that far off from America, except they have a stuffed lion fighting a stuffed tiger. And they were both animals were wearing gold crowns, and just in the corner of the restaurant, that was what was on display.
Oh wow!
That was part of the decoration,
like literally a taxidermied lion.
Taxidermied lion fighting a taxidermied tiger or panther, some other big cat. It was a cabriolita is what we were eating. It's baby goat, which I was there with like the guy who's taking me around and his friend, and they were very proud of it. Not my favorite thing. I did not mind goat when I would eat it, but baby goat was a little little gamey for my tastes. Hmm. But the feeling, and I think it was like a big like drug dealer hangout, so that's why it was like decorated all crazy.
Hmm. So Mexico's number one on the list, most American expats at 850,000. Canada number two with just over 300,000. The UK has about 220,000 Americans over there. Germany at number four, just over 100,000. Australia has 90,000. Israel at number six with 80,000. And South Korea has 72,000 American expats. And I wonder if those numbers include military or these are just private citizens. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I don't know how that works.
Yeah, but anyway, a lot of... a lot of expats. I never really thought about that. Like, it's funny how when you're brought up in America, you just think that the world begins and ends in America. And in reality, what are we like? I don't know. I think we're like 5% of the global population. So, like, I mean, pun intended, but there's a whole other world out there. Like, it's crazy.
Well, and it's hard to leave. I mean, when people have family, about moving out of the same city is rough.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, your family's your support girl. You know how it works. Like, shit, you're working and you have kids. And now your grandparents who aren't working anymore take care of their grandkids while you're working to provide a family. Like, that's kind of the system that's set up. So you stay close to home.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I think that's part of obviously allowing me to even entertain this idea is not having close family ties in terms of, you know, I don't have kids. I don't have a job that is necessarily got me tethered anywhere. So I recognize that I'm kind of in a unique situation. I know it's a lot harder to even entertain these thoughts when you've got a 9-to-5 and kids and roots, but I don't have any roots anywhere. So that, like I said, part of this is daydreaming and part of it is paranoia.
Well, I mean, it's a hard plan to put into action. Mm-hmm. El Rey de Cabrito. That's the restaurant I went to. Sorry, that's what I was looking for. I was trying to find a picture of this goat fighting a lion to make sure I wasn't just making it up. You moved across here. Here you go. I'm sending the picture. I was right. It's two lions fighting each other, and I'm sending you. Not that this is good podcasting. But just to prove to Dave that I was correct about what was happening in this restaurant. There you go. There's a picture of inside the restaurant. It was a taxidermy. Maybe they're two lions. I don't know. It was just, there's a lot going on at that restaurant. Yeah, dude, you got to think about, like, you know, you get lonely. You know, the people that I know that have moved abroad, it's rough. And then you get to empathize with what, you know, an immigrant's experience to hear is if you don't speak the language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and why like communities like Chinatown and stuff like that spring up. It's because of, all right, well, you don't have family, but you have that community to support each other.
Yeah.
So that's what you got to think about. Looks like you're going to have to learn some Spanish one way or another, whether it be European, Spain, Spanish, or Central American Spanish.
Portuguese.
Yeah, I guess Portuguese. Yeah. Where else is Portuguese? That's
Brazil.
Is it Brazil that's Portugal?
And Portugal. Yeah, Brazil, Portugal, a couple other real small places, but those are the two primary ones. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming Costa Rica is just plain old Spanish.
You guys don't speak Spanish. Plain old Spanish down here? Mm-hmm. Y'all speaking that plain old Spanish?
Oh, boy. So, yeah, man, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. But, yeah, just, I don't know. I like to entertain the thought of, I don't know. And we've talked about this off the air. I don't know if it's me getting older or what, but just I feel, or maybe it's my blood pressure. I feel like the clock is ticking. And I want to, I just want to experience as many different things as possible. And I've never been in that mindset. I'm so, if I accomplish nothing else in this life, and I'm not saying that this is wrong for the people who do go this way, but if I accomplish nothing else, I just don't, I'm glad I'm probably not going to die in the town that I was born in. And I know people from high school that, you know, and again, hey, if that, it, to each its own, but there's just such a big world out there. And I just feel like I've barely scratched the surface. And I have. I haven't even left the country except for Canada. I went to Canada for a week. Big whoop. I just feel like there's so much else. And I know I can't see everything and experience everything, but I feel like I owe it to myself to at least experience a little more than what I have.
Dave, do you ever do I catch myself doing this. I don't know if you do it. Like, you look back at, like, pick a time frame, 5 years or 10 years, where you were to where you are now. And, like, if you're surprised or disappointed with how that went. And for me, I'm usually surprised. Like, oh, shit, I'm here.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
I'm glad I kept pursuing comedy, but also, you know, especially after, like, the moving to L.A. first off, and then moving to L.A. and then getting some work being a comedian. But for people, like, it's so intimidating. Like, I'm not, I don't want to make it sound simple. Like, you just got to pick up and go. You got to be a free spirit. That shit's hard. It is difficult.
Yeah, but it's rewarding.
It is, but you don't, the rewards aren't obvious right away. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's like, I never want to act like it, but once you, I will say to anybody, Liz, like, once you do it, you'll, for me, it's like, once I do something, I look back, I'm like, I really wish I would have done that sooner. And to always remember that feeling the next time I'm hesitant about doing something new. Mm-hmm. 'Cause yeah, I am hyper aware of the aging process and being physically less and less able to do things. That's, I had a buddy who was always planning on, like, when he was 18, he was already like, well, and then I'll retire when I'm 60 and I'll be able to do this. I'm like, man, I get the flip side of, like, yeah, but you could be bankrupt when you're 30 because you live this other way. But just the even when you're, if you're bankrupt when you're 30, at least physically, maybe physically and mentally, you could still handle being bankrupt. Mm-hmm. But I just never understood that, man. It just did not make sense to me. I know it makes sense.
No,
security and safety are important values to some people, but I'm like, man.
Yeah, and I get that.
I can sit there at 60 going, boy, I'm going to hike the Appalachian Trail now that I got two fake knees and glaucoma. Like, nah, man, that's not how life works. You are here for a short time.
Yeah.
Short time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're wasting it listening to the Boogie Monster right now. What's what's wrong with you? Even just with podcasts, there's such better options. Anyway, we got a Patreon going on right now. It's going to Dave's moving to a third world country to start an overpriced barbecue restaurant. Hey, what are you living a shack? Don't worry, these ribs are $20.
$4 a month, people.
Come on. Only have a bag of seashells. All right, well, I guess we'll figure out how this works.
Oh my God. Oh Jesus. Just bartering.
Maybe that's the ideal. It's just, yeah, barter system. No taxes, no worries.
By the way, I've already had people reaching out and I appreciate it, But I've had four people reach out this week and want to donate to my Feed the Homeless Barbecue nonprofit. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. So hold off on those donations. I don't want to get caught up in some sort of scandal here.
Yeah.
but yeah, that's another. Maybe I'll combine two of my recent dreams here. Maybe I'll move to Costa Rica and feed poor natives barbecue for free. I don't know.
Well, I'd say right now, maybe you just be like, hey, $50, you know, it's like the 80 cents a day feeds these poor children. You know exactly how much food you're going to make. You'd be like, all right, I'm going to make this. I made this bunch of food that I gave away and it cost me $50. So if people want to donate towards that $50, expenses were covered. You cap it at 50. So therefore, you're not doing it as a profit. Maybe you throw another $10 on there for the labor involved and the kindness of your heart. But I think that's a good thing, man.
Speaking of which, there's a company. Listen to me. There's a group doing that right there in your neck of the woods right now. Riot Ribs.
Oh, I saw
Twitter,
that. Yeah.
It's at Riot Ribs, and basically they're doing the same thing, but more focused on the protesters. And of course, you know, they're feeding anybody who wants to come up. But apparently, I've been following them on Twitter. Apparently, they're out there 24/7. Their Twitter thing here, feeding everybody and anybody 24/7 at the Blue Tent at Southwest Salmon and 4th Avenue. Food is always free. Donations. Their Cash App is $ Riot Ribs.
Yeah, I want to see an unmarked van of feds ask for a few racks of ribs. See if it's from anybody and everybody. Yeah. Although, but, maybe that's a subvert. Because to me, ribs is not a riot food.
Yeah.
You know, then now you got
slow everybody down.
You got you're full. You got you can't eat and protest. Like that's not something you could eat quick. And then you got saucy hands. You can't hold your signs.
Yeah, you got the itis.
Yeah, your mask isn't going to fit properly precinct. With all that barbecue sauce all over your face.
Oh man!
Appreciate the spirit, but seriously, but Riot Foods, a riot recipe list from Dave. That's what you got to do by next week. What's a good? You can hold it in one hand. It's got to have protein and carbs.
Burritos, burritos and wraps, sandwiches, burgers. Yeah,
I never like rib meat. Whenever it's like it falls off the bone, which is kind of a creepy way to describe things. Also,
and it's overcooked if it's falling off the bone. By the
is
way.
It? But then, if you could do that, just get it off the bone. Just give me like a rib meat sandwich.
Oh yeah, like a homemade McRib. Get out of town. What if the McRib was good? What a great concept that would be.
You have a burger press. It doesn't mean just burger has to go in there.
Oh, I like what you're thinking.
I might not eat it, but I got the ideas.
Mm.
It falls off the bone right into that burger press. Boom.
Yeah.
Dense rib patty with a little homemade Dave sauce on it.
Homemade sauce, a little raw onion, some pickle. Oh, boy.
I might.
Oh, boy.
Maybe I'll break edge. Maybe if I get down Long Beach, I'll break edge for some of that. I kept claiming I was going to break edge for Holland Ray's.
Mm-hmm.
So far.
God, I miss Holland Ray's.
We all do, Dave. We all do.
But things are good there. Staying safe.
You know, if I don't think about the world, they're fine. I just stay in the backyard drinking rosé and petting us. We got a stray cat. Here's one to take some shit on. We've been calling her Helen after Helen Keller because we thought she was blind and deaf. But I think she's just putting us on.
You got a cat?
Well, they're just a stray cat that hangs out in the yard. But
that's
since
awesome.
We've been feeding it, she lets us pet it. But it kept like, it was like, I think it was pretending to be blind because it'd be like, we're over here, come by. And it was like, look around, like, I don't know where you are. But then if it can see a bee across the yard, like, it's not, she's putting us on. But hey, you know what? You play your games, we'll play ours. It's fine. But yeah, so
that's great.
Just a fire pit. Man, did you realize you can replace all your televisions with just a fire pit?
Oh, dude.
I went back, brought my PlayStation up here, brought a TV up here. Barely touch a thing. You just sit and watch Fire Pit. Same shit, man. I wasn't paying attention to I couldn't get through Lord of the Rings by watching Fire Pit for 3 hours. I don't go figure.
Oh man. Well, good times, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you and the missus are all right.
Oh, we're doing great. I forgot to mention this. I've been home alone all week.
Oh, okay. Oh, just being a rascal. Short,
her,
Long Beach rascal, yeah, Dave Stone.
Exactly. She's been with her dad this week. He's recovering still from that broken hip.
Yeah.
So he still can't live alone. And the last few months, her nephews have been living with him.
Yeah.
And but they had to go up to Alaska to a wedding. Their dad's getting remarried, so they're gone. So she popped over there and stayed the week with her dad.
Okay.
And so I've been home alone, just
mashing just weird rudderless. Shit into that just, burger press,
just putzing around doing nothing.
Old Massacre Dave Stone making an old dick and balls burger by himself.
Watch.
Trying to see if he could feel anything.
Oh, God. Did I hang up on you again?
No. Well, now you did. Okay, oh, there you are. All right. Okay.
No, there you are. All right. No, but yeah, just been just completely putzing around. It's funny, man, how, I don't know, I guess I'm getting too domesticated, but I don't know what to do without her. I'm just here by myself.
No, that's a good feeling to have.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, I did go over there the other night. I smoked a pork shoulder and brought it over, and we had a nice little family dinner. And then we went on a late night heated swimming pool swim. A little late night swimming action.
Late night heated pool. Swim oh, sounds like you're just in the pool arguing with each other.
Yeah, I didn't articulate that the best, but
wonder if anybody's ever gotten a fight in a hot tub. That would be fun to listen to, is people getting an argument in a hot tub. That's a Tumblr hot tub arguments. Let me see that. Let me see that security cam footage from your condominium.
But yeah, man, little late night swim.
Ooh, night swimming.
It's like midnight, just out there putzing around the pool in the shallow end, having a good time.
Is it hot as shit down there?
No, it wasn't too bad. Especially when the sun went down. It was nice.
Hey, fun stuff. You go see Comet Neowise at all? Only maybe a day or two left.
I tried to. You reminded me of it that night, and I went out for like 20 minutes and walked around just staring at the sky, and I couldn't find it. You saw it?
Yeah, you got to look. If you're looking at nighttime, I think they said about 10, well, at least last week it was 10 p.m. If you're looking north to northwest, split the, you know. And it's kind of close, not, you know, close above the horizon. Don't look too far up in the sky. It's hard to see with the naked eye.
Wait, is it still there?
It might be. Go look up on the computer. I'm not going to speak from any expertise here. But it was just something neat to see. You could see it with the naked eye, but not really well. But it's just a neat thing to see. Also, we've been seeing the International Space Station pass it over. I guess it passes about every 90 minutes. And there's also some meteor showers coming up that I checked out. So, non-COVID, pandemic, race war, crumbling democracy news. There's some fun stuff in the sky to check out. I feel like that dude that called into Coast to Coast, who was like right before they would get into any conspiracy or like, well, the Zionists wanted to. There's just some guy going, well, there's going to be a meteor shower and that'll be lovely to view in the sky. And like, some pleasant dude who would call in with news about the stars.
Did you bring your telescope up there?
Nah, man, it didn't fit in the car on this last run. So unfortunately, no. And I'm kind of kicking myself about it right now. But all right, Chacho.
All right, buddy. July 24th. When is that? That's Friday?
That's Friday,
when's
man.
The 24th.
Friday.
Friday.
Yeah, what do we got?
Kyle Kinane special.
Got old trampoline and ditch coming out everywhere on Friday.
Hell yeah.
Hey Girl is on Fridays with me and Matt Bronger on holdthephone.tv. Stonebergs comes out, what days? Today?
Stonebergs every Monday.
Mondays?
Yeah, every Monday. And if I'm going to relocate abroad, let's go ahead and push those cookbooks a little more. DumbDaveStone.com. I got three different cookbooks. And holler at me. Also, offer still stands. If you're in a pinch and you need some recipes, I give them to you for free. What do I care?
He'll get you.
Yeah, man. All right, yeah, dude. Man.
Homemade McRib. That's what I want to hear about coming up now.
I'll do it, man. I'm on it.
All right, buddy.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. Be safe.
See you.
The Boogie Monster.
Network.